We ended the first segment with sports. We're going to pick it up a little bit. How about that British Open? Cameron Smith wins his first major. He came storming back. Looked like Rory McIlroy was in great shape. And Smith, though, five straight birdies on the back nine, shoots a 64. Phenomenal final round. Wins his first major, the British Open. And now we have Jeff O'Brien. Well, Jeff, you do so many things that you do. You're an attorney, mm-hmm. represent, what, 60 craft breweries and also refineries. Not refineries, distilleries. Do you have any refineries? No refineries, right?
Not yet.
Might be able to. You also, last week, you told us that people who collect cards should really be looking for this young fella from Forest Lake, Matt Wallner. And what did he do to his rookie card or the card that's out for him with his home run in the Futures game?
Yeah, so I was just curious because, I saw they had the Futures game yesterday, and both he and Spencer Steer played. Now, last week I couldn't remember which level that Matt Wallner was at. He's at Wichita, so the Double-A, but I heard during the game yesterday, listened to the game on the radio, and they said that the Twins game, and the announcer said that he is being promoted to St. Paul after the All-Star break. So he will be here in St. Paul playing for the Saints after the All-Star break. But he and Spencer Steer were at the Futures game. He hit a two-run home run during the game. Spencer went 0-for-2. But I just did a peek this morning, and I saw some of his autographed Bowman Chrome first cards going for over $75. The bidding was up past $75.
Really?
Yeah, and I had picked him up, Bob, a couple weeks ago. I picked up two of his first issue Bowman Chrome cards for, I think, $30 total.
Wow!
And I just had a hunch. I'm like, this if he everybody kept saying he was the hot prospect, and so I figured let's grab him, and I did, and so far so good. That's how quickly some of these guys can escalate. If they start to move up. I mean, that's the thing is, in the old days, you'd get like somebody's rookie card, right? Like a star player, and that was in a pack of cards, and that was the be all end all. What really is the key right now is you go find these guys, these young guys who aren't yet there because they haven't had the appreciation and the card value, and go find the limited, the autographed editions that get inserted in the packs. You can find those, online or local card shop or whatever. Pick those up and hold those. Those are really where the good investments are, is particularly in those Bowman Chrome first auto cards of the young players. That's where you end up making a nice spread on those if you end up flipping those later. It's not the rookie cards that you find in a pack that you find at the at Target or Walmart or wherever.
Okay, now you said that it went from like 30 to 75. When do you sell? Do you hold on to it for years?
I hold on to it. Right, I collect Twins cards, so I bought them for my own personal collection. But yes, there are collectors out there that will speculate that we're buying them up ahead of his being in the Futures game and are now selling them for a higher price.
It used to be kids only, but you buy the card and you have the card, you put them on the spoke of your bike. Now though, it is it's an investment for people, right? It's in a sense, it's you get enough of them and you make them enough money. I mean, it's like a version of playing the stock market, right? You're betting on these guys.
It really is. I've seen stories of people in a lot of different groups, especially on Facebook, and there's young people on there talking about how they actually bought their first house by their card selling business. And then they'd sell them. And it gets a little crazy. I mean, Target has, and some of these stores have had to limit how many packs or how many boxes you can buy when you're there, because these guys that are flipping them just come in when they stock the shelves and literally load the whole thing, the whole aisle into their cart and take off.
Wow.
And so they've put some limits on that. So they've kind of taken some of the fun out of it.
This has never really interested me. The only sports memorabilia / collectible that I have is the 1975 Lakewood Little League team won the Little League World Series in Williamsport. I covered the game. And I was a kid, too. I was like 18 or 19, freshman or sophomore freshman in college. And that had some meaning to me because, to me, that was a big deal to see these kids from the next town over win. And it was the one year in that string where the Taiwanese teams did not come because they were dominant in the early 70s and even in the later 70s. But that has meaning to me. None of this other stuff does, but I may have missed the boat on it.
Well, I like, you know, I've always, I like the, you know, Twins baseball cards, Bob. I've always had kind of memorabilia-wise, I like stuff that maybe of historical significance or something related to one of my own clients. I just had, I have a friend of mine who was very close with Bud Grant, and he, a couple of years ago, he was showing me, oh, look, I got Bud to hand draw a play and then sign it. And
oh,
I
wow.
Said, how, you should get him to do the Hail Mary play. And so he went and did it. He got Bud to draw Squadron Right, you know, the old, the 1980 Cleveland game. And it started out, they had prints made of it, and they were going to have both Bud and Tommy Kramer sign it. And then he got it. He got hooked up through Sir Francis Asbury Tarkenton to Ahmad Rashad. So I haven't picked it up yet. I paid for it. I've paid up for my friends yet. But I have the number 80 of like 100 of the hand-drawn Squadron Right by Bud Grant, signed by Bud, Tommy, and Ahmad Rashad.
You know what? That would be a neat thing to have because it's not just an autograph. And it's not even a photo that's autographed. That's neat.
Yeah, and the reason I did it, not only because of, you know, Bud hand-drawing the play, but my dad was at the game.
Oh, really?
So I've heard the stories from him of being at the game and his perspective sitting there in the stands. So it kind of is like it will become like, you know, be passed down to my nephews or whatever, because it'll be the it'll help continue telling the story of my dad being at the game watching it while I've got my friend Mr. Kramer on the other end throwing the ball into the end.
Well, you know what you could do is are you going to frame this thing?
Oh, sorry, frame.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say is what you should do is see if you can get a big photo of of Metropolitan Stadium. Whether or not doesn't have to be from that game, but have it during a Vikings game and put a picture of your dad nearby.
He's got photos with it. The guy that a friend of mine that
oh he did. Oh, you're way ahead of the game on me.
He put. I'll have to send you pictures when I finally actually pick it up.
That'd be terrific.
But yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'll have that forever. That's a cool piece.
You know what? I had not thought until you brought it up. If you can get a coach or a player to diagram a famous play. That thing is, while not priceless, the original has got to be worth a ton of money. And I don't know that Bud realizes how much money it was worth, or he would have been selling them himself. Or is he capitalizing on this and getting part of the money?
I think he gets some, but I think what I've heard from talking with my friend who knows Bud, Bud has this attitude of he wants to make sure that everybody, like in perpetuity, who wants a Bud Grant autograph has the opportunity to do it. So Bud signs a lot of stuff. Has signed a lot of stuff that's been art that's been put away for future, you know, sales and such. So long after Bud is gone, there'll be Bud Grant autograph items. I think that's really cool on his part that he has that philosophy that he wants everybody that wants an autograph piece from him to be able to get one.
Well, what you got to me of all the things I've heard about of Bud pieces, that one is, you know, the only thing that might make it a little better, and I don't know that it would, if he diagrammed the play on a football. That'd be kind of neat. You need to go find him and, hey, Bud, diagram that play for me, will you? And sign it right here. Something to think about. All right. I got to ask you about this. A study came out, and it's, you saw it, I saw it, advising. It's in The Lancet, which is a big deal medical thing. People under 40 should not drink alcohol. Now, as a guy who represents 60 craft breweries and distilleries, I'm thinking you're not a big fan of this study and are poo-pooing it. Am I right?
No, clearly this is fake news.
It's fake news.
Some interest group paid for the study, I'm sure. So
yeah, some teetotalers.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're not going to deny anybody Irish penicillin.
No, and you know, and they're saying, oh, it's bad for your heart, bad for your liver. Bad. We've all known this for years. Yet, if you're,
yeah, but
you know,
the studies used to be, Bob, that you have like a glass of red wine was good for your heart. It's like, well, that's why you look at who paid who for the study.
They're still saying that the glass of wine is good for your heart, but it's really good for the older people, plus 40s.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's
well,
much
I guess
nicer
it just means
for them.
More for the rest of us, for the older of us.
Yeah. All right. Now I'm gonna give me an update because you got all these, like I said, craft breweries and distilleries. How many of them, and how long is the timeline? Who'll be the first one out with the THC infused seltzer? And how many of your clients are actually making it?
I've got at least a half dozen that have already contacted me and have said they're going to do it. So I don't know which one is going to be the first. I know overall I think that Indeed Brewing is going to be the first, because they already had a CBD-infused seltzer out and were told by the state not to make it anymore. So they'll easily be able to ramp up production again, and they're going to do a THC one. When we talk about THC, we're talking Delta 8. That's the THC derived from hemp. It's not – they didn't legalize, you know, like adult-use cannabis for – beverages. It's THC derived from hemp, which has always been legal under the 2018 Farm Bill.
So they might actually have some casks laying, you know, in the back room. They could just tap now and get that stuff out.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, it's all going to be non-alcoholic, but, you know, because you can't get a formula approval from the feds for an alcoholic beverage with CBD or Delta 8 in it. But from what I've told for heard from people about Delta 8, I've never tried it myself, but you do get a buzz off of it. So you'll get a buzz either way. If you drink an alcoholic beer or a non-alcoholic seltzer with Delta 8, you still get a buzz.
Oh, great. Good to know. Well, I'm not going to drink it anyway, so it doesn't matter to me. All right, Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone, as always, greatly appreciate it. The BS Show will take a quick break, and we will be right back.